family members of Congress and the American people to an extent as well await the release of the Mueller report this week.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
And we have breaking news. Fits the tease. Now we know the day and probably around the time Attorney General Barr is going to release the Mueller report. Thursday morning. Now, Thursday morning usually would mean in Washington, D.C. If he would have just said Thursday, I mean, it could have gone live at like midnight on Wednesday. But it appears that with the morning thrown in there by the Department of Justice, a spokesperson, so that people don't continue to speculate. With the morning thrown in there, I would expect, I'll go right to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, that usually means sometime between 9 and 10 a.m. Eastern time, maybe 8 a.m. Eastern time, but certainly morning.
Yeah, and I think certainly before we're on the air that day, Jordan, I think it will be probably really before the day kicks off here in Washington, D.C. But I think to underscore your point, I mean, a lot of the narratives from folks here in Washington, D.C. have already been written. The House and the Senate are both on recess this week, but we saw this last week. A lot of the headlines, the takeaways from this report, even from members of Congress who have not yet read it, they've already been determined. But, Jordan, as far as what Thursday morning means, I would suspect by the time most people are in their offices on the East Coast, I think we'll have the report in hands.
Folks, this means one thing is for certain. It's going to be a busy Good Friday and Easter Sunday for a lot of folks. It'll be interesting to see how the news covers it. I want to ask you this question because I really do want to get phone calls today. This is really not like waiting for someone guilty or innocent. We already know the conclusions. It's like you've read the final page of the book. The final page of the book is there is no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction found by the DOJ, found by the Attorney General in consultation with Rod Rosenstein and the various offices within the Department of Justice advisors, so senior advisors there, legal members of their staff. And there was no, the big thing was that there was no Russia collusion between or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian government or its actors. And so we know the conclusion. Here is my question to you. How important is the release of this report to you? Is it more important to the Congress and the media? Do you feel like you already kind of know what's there and are not as interested? Or is this like a Star report for you? Are you going to, you know, read your copy of it, the 400 pages of it, and go through it? Do you think your friends and neighbors are? Or do you think it's mainly liberal activists? So who's really excited about this release? I feel like it's members of Congress, but I want your reaction today on the show. And there's no wrong answers because I really want to hear from people who are, you know, talk to people at church this weekend, talk to friends and family. Now that the news is out, that it's going to be released pretty late in the week, considering this is the start of Passover on Friday. It's Good Friday for Christians. So you've got a country where majority of us are of the Christian faith. So Protestants and Catholics are beginning their holiday the day after, as well as the Jewish community in America, then beginning Friday as well with Passover. So this Thursday release is very unique, I mean, to say the least. I want to, again, take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. How important is the Mueller report to you? And then if it's not, maybe you say, well, I'm a Trump supporter or I'm not a Trump supporter, so it won't impact me. But how important will it be, do you think, for the 2020 election, for the upcoming election? How much will we hear this harped on during the presidential debates, during the Democrat primary? I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. No wrong answers today. It's what do you think the impact is and who's most excited? Jordan believes it's members of Congress, who, by the way, Than, just briefly, they're not even in Washington this week.
Not even here yet, but Jordan, I bet when we come back from the break, I can list you a handful of them that'll make sure they find their way to a TV camera when this is released.
Yeah, absolutely. 1-800-684-3110. I really want this to be a discussion today on the broadcast. Now that we know, if you're just joining us, the Mueller report will be released Thursday morning. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Facebook, can we change the headline now that it says, yeah, it's out Thursday? So we know now, if you're just joining us, I know people are constantly joining, so I will repeat this a few times. The Department of Justice, this is official, this is not a leak. The Department of Justice has announced that the Mueller report will be released to the American people and Congress simultaneously on Thursday morning. So that's as specific as they got. That's pretty specific because morning it ends at noon. And it starts really any time after midnight. So you could have it go up at midnight. You could have it go up at 6 a.m. You could have it go up at 8 a.m. It could be kind of, there could be a press conference that the Attorney General holds to release it at kind of a normal business hours at 8 or 9 a.m. Eastern time. For those of you on the West Coast, it'll still be very early, I think, regardless. But we do know now that this report is coming out this week, and it's going to be later in the week. And I think there's an impact there. There certainly could be an impact there with people's attention spans, and I'll tell you why. Just to remind you, I know we're all busy and it's just Monday, but it's Good Friday the next day. Sunday is Easter. Friday is also the beginning of Passover. Well, when you add up the Judeo-Christian community in America, those who are practicing Christians and those Jews who celebrate Passover, which is almost all Jews, even some who are more secular. When you add that all up, I mean, you're talking the vast majority of the American people, Protestants and Catholics and Jews in the United States of America. I think they were only not including there is Muslims, really, of major faiths, and those are the Orthodox Christian faith who celebrate Easter on a different date. But again, you're talking about the vast majority of the American Judeo-Christian community is celebrating what is, in the Christian community, one of the most important holiday of the year, at least one of the, whether it's the birth of Christ, the resurrection being the most important in the Christian tradition and Christian faith. And then, of course, in Judaism and the Jewish faith with Passover, which is also very important. It's a coming together of family. It's going to be an interesting time. Could be some interesting discussions at the Passover tables this beginning on Friday. Could be an interesting time on Easter brunch this Sunday as well. Not to take away from the importance of the religious nature of those holidays, but let's be honest, this is coming out a day before all of that begins, literally the morning before. So we know the time. Now we don't have to guess about that. Because I was, Than, even before this report, I thought it would be very important that when this came out this week, because I feel like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week are very kind of normal days. But you get past that and people start looking towards Thursday is almost treated like a Friday. Friday, if you do have to work, I know the government's open Friday, but if you do have to work, you're looking towards a lot of companies take it off. A lot of people have half days because of Good Friday and Good Friday services that they attend. And then, of course, there's still spring breaks going on. And then there's Passover and Easter Sunday. So I always thought that if this happened early in the week, if it happened like today or tomorrow, that would be one thing. But now it happening later in the week, it does change, I believe, it changes the kind of approach to a 400-page report, knowing that a lot of the Sunday shows and weekend shows don't usually go live on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, Jordan, I think if it came out in the next couple of days, it would have taken up all the oxygen, both in this town and probably in the media outlets across the country. If it comes out a little bit later in the week, as now it looks like it is going to do, maybe it won't have as much time to dominate. A lot of offices and businesses are closed on Friday, and rightfully so. Jordan, but look, I think I would make a prediction to you from Washington, D.C., even though members of Congress, most of them are not in this city right now as both chambers are on recess. I think you will see the usual suspects rush to TV cameras to give a response to this. And we talked about this in the break, but I would expect at least Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and Elijah Cummings and probably Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to have prepared responses to this the moment it drops. And I would just issue this caution to people who are going to read the report and then also listen to responses. How about you read the report first before you listen to those responses? Because those responses are going to come out before those members of Congress actually read the reports. Jordan, those statements have already been written. It is going to be a narrative that they want people to hear, not one based on what's in the actual report. And I would submit to you, I think we have the two most important conclusions out of that report, and that is that there was no collusion or obstruction of justice. And by the way, we also talked about this in the break. That was the job of the attorney general to do, to make that decision. I know we got a little bit out of that practice in the last administration when the last attorney general did not make that decision. Attorney General Barr has already made that decision, Jordan, and these members of Congress that are going to respond, that is not their duty. That is not their job to make. They will just be giving you a political response.
Yeah, I want to go right to the phones. As I said, I want today to be a discussion. How important is it to you? The report, like, are you going to spend time reading it or are you going to go more to the places that you trust for commentary? I think that the vast majority of Americans will get their version of the report from where they get their news. So whether they get their news from a Fox News type, a CNN type, a nightly news type, which also kind of leans to the left, or an MSNBC type. So you're going to get like your news that way about kind of like the analysis. Most people don't have time to read 400 plus pages, especially depending on how it's written. If it's written more like a legal document, if it's written more like a narrative, I mean, this could be something that is tough to get through, could be pretty thick 400 pages. It could be 400 pages with a lot of attachments. And are they including those attachments with the 400 pages, like indictments and things that, you know, you don't necessarily have to go through all of, or that have already been released publicly, but this kind of puts it all together. So how many of the pages are new? I mean, I think you're talking about a considerable amount, but how important do you think this will be to the American people? How important will this be to the United States of America, for good or for ill, even though we already know what the conclusions are? John is calling from Kansas on line five. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Hey, John.
Yeah. Well, I just said that I think that this all, hoax was that was drawn up by the Democratic Party. The dossier and such was like a sleight of the hand type thing. And I think the reason that they're in such an outrage is because Mueller probably did some investigation and found themselves their hands in a cookie jar, and they're trying to see if they're going to be indicted or not. That's why they want an unrestricted dossier.
Well, I think, listen, everything that is flown from the Mueller report is done. So if there were any outstanding cases, those have been given over, Than, already to U.S. attorneys to finish. So I don't think there's any new indictments that are going to stem from the Mueller investigation. I think, you know, we look at the attorney general last week announcing that he's going to investigate the origins of all of this. The FISA report that will come out from the inspector general in a couple of months, or maybe even within the next month. I mean, in May or June, so it could be very soon as well. That's where kind of new, I think, criminal prosecutions could come out of. But But the Mueller report is finished, and their work is finished, and they have given over cases already to U.S. attorneys to finish that they believe they didn't have to have a direct role in. So, I mean, this office is it wrapped up by reviewing this final copy that would be released to the American people, which, by the way, I think is important to note to everybody. There was people from the Mueller team, from the special counsel's team, as part of the team reviewing what would be released. But, Than, I don't expect new prosecutions out of this whatsoever. Again, there's always those political questions. What did that? How much pressure do House Democrats feel from the left to take some action?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any real news, honestly, Jordan. I mean, I think what you'll see is the evidence that was weighed on both sides of the questions that the special counsel looked at. And so I have no doubt that you will see partisans take single pieces of evidence out of context and try to spin a narrative with that. And I would just encourage the people that read this, don't take single instances of evidence out of context. Look at the report and look at the totality of a section to see why a certain conclusion was reached. Jordan, I will tell you this to the caller's point. It's pretty well known when this type of thing happens in Washington, D.C., one of the things you see people do is scramble through the indexes to find where certain people are mentioned in the report. So I don't have any doubt that that will happen. And I would suggest to you that I think one person that will be scrambling to do that is James Comey, because remember, yeah, it was his leaking of a memo that triggered the special counsel. Jordan, it reached a conclusion that the special counsel was not warranted because there was no evidence of collusion. If you were the director of the FBI and you leaked a confidential memo for the purpose of appointing a special counsel, and then the conclusion was that special counsel never should have existed, I would probably want to know what was in myself about that report. I bet you he'll be looking through the index.
Yes, and remember with Jim Comey, we know he sat down with the special counsel's team, and we know the special counsel, we know that Attorney General Barr, which is normal practice, said we're not going to release, you know, negative info on American people who weren't indicted, but he did give the caveat for like elected and government officials that they're not going to treat that the same way. So a Jim Comey type could certainly be there. And that could certainly be part of when the Attorney General opens his own investigation about how this all started. This could be part of that. So I don't want to downplay some of the people who may think this is all anti-Trump, 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 and suddenly some new names stop popping up. But we could talk about that when we come back from the break as well. Call us though, 1-800-684-3110. Like Thursday morning, are you going to be waiting, you know, whether you're at work, whether you're after you take your kids to school or if you're retired, to get your hands on this report? Or are you, again, going to kind of wait back and see what the people you trust have to say about it? It's a lot of pages to digest pre-Good Friday, pre the beginning of Passover, pre-Easter. I mean, it just is. It's like a full novel, except for this is not going to read necessarily like a novel. And it's a lot. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I really want to hear from you. How important is the Mueller report? Now we know from the Department of Justice, it will be released to the American people and to Congress on Thursday morning. So in a few days, we won't harp on it every day this week until Thursday, unless anything changes. But I did want to give people an opportunity today, and that news broke right as we were going on, I mean, literally 30 seconds before we went on air. So it worked perfectly for today's show because I think there's so much anticipation today. And I know that cable news will keep that anticipation up, and even the nightly news is going to keep the anticipation up because now they have a date they know, a morning that they know they can prepare to get all of their readers. And listen, my dad said to Politico, he's got a team ready as part of the president's legal team. He has a team ready to go through the various portions. They're kind of getting assigned portions of what they believe is around, you know, in the hundreds of 300 to 400 pages that will be released. Now, with redactions, we'll see how much that changes the actual amount of page numbers. And those redactions we've talked about before, things that have to be redacted, like grand jury information, information about everyday Americans who are not elected officials or government officials, that is just sheds a nasty light on them. It may be negative on them, but did not lead to any kind of indictment. You don't just put out embarrassing or dirt on people to put out dirt on people in the United States of America who don't have these higher offices or not government appointed or don't work for the U.S. government and so kind of held to a higher standard. Third, of course, is information involving intelligence gathering, scopes and method. I mean, that's always in there. And anything involving current prosecutions. So I guess one of those would be like the information, anything about, which I don't think he would have played too much into this directly because it wasn't about, you know, the Russia collusion part, but like Michael Cohen prosecution, anything related to that. Now he's been fully prosecuted now, so his case is done. So maybe that opens that back up because there's information about the indictments and pleading guilty. And so I just think that we all have to wait and see. You know, we can speculate to an extent, but what we know is that we're getting a pretty large document. We're not just getting a dozen pages here. We're not even just getting 50 pages here. I mean, Than, for U.S. government standards to receive a report in the hundreds of pages on a matter like this is historic in the sense that this is pretty unusual. I don't think it should have ever happened. That's my position. I think that this is all based on a phony dossier and likely illegal wiretapping of the Trump campaign via a volunteer for the Trump campaign, it appears, like a Carter Page, and maybe a volunteer and an intern like George Papadopoulos. So the whole everything with Peter Strzok, with Lisa Page, with Andy McCabe, with Jim Comey, all undercuts the beginning. But these investigators still got appointed. They did their job. They put together their report. And what they found was, we know, is that you could dig through as much as you want, but there was no conspiracy between Russia and the Trump campaign to win the election. We know that. We also know that they could not figure out if there was obstruction. That whole big special counsel's team, we know they never asked for a subpoena of the president because they didn't go to the DOJ and get rejected, which means they didn't make that request because it either would have been granted or rejected, and they got no rejections, and they didn't get it granted because they didn't make one. It's because there was only two options there. You get it or it's rejected. And there were no rejections. So on the instruction issue, they couldn't reach the opinion. They kind of left that to the Department of Justice. And the Department of Justice, not just the Attorney General, but with a legal team and Rod Rosenstein, determined there is not enough evidence here. And this is after a two-year investigation costing millions of dollars to the American taxpayer. And we will see exactly how it reads. I think that's very important. But then ultimately, House members, I think like the Nadler types, the Pelosi types, this will be what I think this is going to be actually what the Democrats try to use to unite themselves around, because they've gotten pretty divided over these last few days with Ilhan Omar and Nancy Pelosi kind of finally, Nancy Pelosi did kind of what we were saying, Than. She hasn't taken her off the committee yet, but she did say, stop making a big deal out of these five liberal nuts, basically. In our party, that's not who makes up our party. That being said, she could not get a budget vote scheduled because of those liberals in her party.
Yeah, she also didn't take the action to back up those words. I'm glad she said it, but we've said it for a long time on this broadcast, Jordan. Until she backs it up with words, and she's not going to do it unless the American people force her to, she's actually enabling the congresswoman. But I would say a couple of things. First of all, I think it's important to note that the special counsel, and we mentioned this earlier, but the special counsel is working with the attorney general and the deputy attorney general to make those proper redactions. Jordan, secondly, to go back to the comments you made about whether or not this special counsel's investigation was properly predicated, I agree with you that it was not, and I would go a step further. I have serious concerns that American citizens were spied on, and I do choose that word intentionally. I think they were spied on using information that the law enforcement knew to be unreliable, knew to be undependable. And Jordan, I think that raises serious public policy considerations and ones that cannot be addressed in the 5 minutes after this report drops. I think it's incumbent on the American people, on organizations like the ACLJ, and on others on both sides of the aisle to take a serious in-depth look at the problems that this case has brought to the public attention. And chief among them is how easy is it to spy on American citizens who do on something that is lacking a predicate. Jordan, that is a problem that has to have a public policy recommendation brought to the forefront. It is something that has to be addressed soberly and seriously. There will not be a recommendation that comes forward that is meaningful in the first 5 minutes after this report is out. But I can tell you, groups like ours are determined to put forward those recommendations in the days and the weeks and the months to come. And in my view, that is going to be the most important and valuable thing that comes out of the release of this report.
Yeah, Lewis calling from Texas Online, too. Lewis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Appreciate all the work you guys do. Listen to you midday frequently here in Dallas. So
Thank you.
Kudos and blessings, prayers for all
we
of you.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate all the thoughtful discussion. I guess the original question when I tuned in today, I won't read the whole report unless I have insomnia, but you know, I'll listen to NBC, listen to you guys, listen to different people. And I agree. I think most everything in the report is out, and I do trust the Attorney General Barr. I think the four-page summary seems, I don't think there's going to be much to disprove the report from his four-page summary. But on to the FISA court issue, I think there were serious, major questions raised, and anybody that attacked the Attorney General's statement in front of the Senate that spying occurred and it should be looked upon is not really giving any serious attention to these massively serious issues.
Oh, like a U.S. presidential campaign being spied on through the transition, so they actually won election, and then the spying continues, we know. You know, how long did it continue? Well, then they got a special counsel to investigate him because Jim Comey leaked those memos, his notes of meetings with the president of the United States, the current president of the United States, after he got fired, of course. He didn't think it was that important, by the way, all of this stuff that he was hearing from the president to report it to anybody internally. No, he just waited till he was a spurred person who got angry. And he's the one, again, said, spying. I don't know what he's talking about with spying. But we do know, you know, Carroll said, is there a possibility there will be an investigation into the FISA abuses? The answer is there absolutely already is one. The Inspector General of the Department of Justice is about to release that either in May or June. That was announced by Attorney General Barr. We come back. We got a second half hour. We've taken a lot of phone calls. We're going to take a lot more. So keep calling 1-800-684-3110. We want your opinion on how important you believe the release of the Mueller report is. We now know when that will be. Thursday morning. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So this is the second half hour. Let me just kind of reset the stage in case you're just joining us. The Department of Justice decided to announce early afternoon, or right at afternoon, noon Eastern time, I guess. I think it was like 11:58 a.m. Eastern time, or 11:59 a.m. Eastern time, that this got reported. So basically the very end of the morning, because I'm sure they have been getting, I can't even imagine how many reporters calling them asking, when is this report coming out? And remember, when it comes out, it's being released simultaneously, the Mueller report, to Congress and the American people. So it's not something that's just going to Congress, then for 2 weeks it'll be there, and then ultimately to the American people. It's a simultaneous release. So we now know, listen closely, it's confirmed, especially if you're just joining us, that the Mueller report will be released to all of you, to all of us, and to all of our members of Congress on Thursday morning. Now, morning can be very early in the morning. I mean, it starts at midnight. You know, it could be. I don't think it would be something necessarily that's at midnight, like a news article would be. That's when a lot of the news posts for the next day. But I think it could be, as Stan, as you said, it could be something where by the time you're sitting in your desk in Washington, the report has been released, which would mean something like maybe a 7 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern time release.
I think that's what I would guess, Jordan. If you're interested in this report, I would recommend going to bed early on Wednesday and being prepared to rock and roll pretty early. But look, I do think this is appropriate, too, because if you're interested in the content of this report, the other thing I would recommend is that you actually read it rather than listen in the minutes to follow it to the statements that have already been written. I mean, I can probably write the statements that will come from Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and Elijah Cummings and the leadership in the House of Representatives, the minority in the Senate, Jordan. I think those statements have been written, and I would encourage people on all sides of the issue, even though I don't think this is a report that should have sides. I think you should be looking at the facts, but let's read the report, Jordan. Let's read it rather than listening to the immediate response that will be given without the people delivering it having read it, and then let's turn to the people involved and see what their response is. But let's start with the facts. Let's start with the report actually says, and then we could return to a discussion of the public policy fixes that need to take place.
Absolutely. Okay, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. I told you we're going to be taking a lot of calls. We're doing it right off the top in this first segment. Ryan in Idaho on line 3. Ryan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, I heard an estimate of the Mueller report at $38 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
$38 million. And I'm saying that if someone were to walk into a bank or extort somebody $38 million, wouldn't there be some accountability? I mean, is there anything to say that we can go back and find that this was a plan to fleece the American people out of 38? Is there any accountability?
Well, I think for the Democrats, this is a huge disappointment already. I mean, remember, when you empower a special counsel, their job is to investigate whether there are prosecutions they can bring, whether laws have been broken, and prosecutions they can bring. They have brought some prosecutions along the way in the Mueller report, in the special counsel's team. The most high-profile has been either Michael Cohen, which really related to the Southern District of New York and was given out in line to Congress, and then this campaign finance issue, payoff issue. So, and his got transferred to the Southern District of New York. So really the biggest one was the Manafort stuff, and that had nothing to do with the Trump campaign, nothing to do with Russia. It was actually Ukraine, and it was Ukraine like in 2012, so well before the Trump campaign. Again, like people mentioned that Carter Page was the basis for the FISA that they got on the Trump campaign, and you know he didn't get indicted. And so it's not facing legal issues. George Papadopoulos lied to FBI investigators like a week in jail? I don't even know how long he spent in prison. And he was a campaign intern, for goodness sakes. I mean, that's who we're talking about, volunteers and interns. The volunteer, Carter Page, didn't get nothing from the special counsel team. But remember, that is something that the Democrats would consider a failure. I think the fact that Donald Trump, President Trump, and his campaign were under this much scrutiny and they found zero should totally clear the president, because if these are the top investigators we were led to believe, then certainly if there was anything to be found, they would have found it. And
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I think my dad told Politico, it's like waiting for a jury verdict when you already know what the answer is from the jury. Whether you know the conclusions from the jury, you know the verdict that has been reached. So you're talking about how they got there, basically. How did they get from point A? Did the Trump campaign collude? And now let me break this down for you. Collusion is not anywhere in the criminal code. So was there a conspiracy to violate our election laws between the Trump campaign and Russia? They start there at A. They get to B, which is the verdict. Verdict is no. There was no evidence of a conspiracy. There was no conspiracy. And these Democrats say, well, that doesn't mean there wasn't collusion. Yes, it does. If you're trying to ever use collusion in the legal sense, it absolutely does, because conspiracy is the legal term. Collusion is just this random term that has been thrown out by Democrats because they know it has no legal meaning. But if you're a special counsel, you got to find the legal issues, and they didn't find any. There was no conspiracy between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. Nothing illegal, nothing criminal at all. And now we're going to find how they got from kind of point A to point B to some extent. We're also going to figure out why the special counsel's team, with all their top investigators from their top, prosecutors and law firms who came together to join the special counsel's team, couldn't figure out if there was obstruction of justice or not. Some of that, I think, was again, it's not really their role to decide, and they did not ask to subpoena the president. We know that because there were no rejections from the Department of Justice to any request by the special counsel's team. And if there were no rejections, well, then the DOJ did not reject that subpoena, and we know they didn't get a subpoena. So, this obstruction issue, it's never for them to make the final verdict on. It's whether or not they had enough information to move forward, and the answer was no. I mean, Bill Barr and Rod Rosenstein said, absolutely not, there's not enough information. Now, I think we'll get some information to that in the report. I think the middle of it, there could be a lot of salacious testimony that was given by former members of the Trump team and maybe White House officials, former White House officials, and that they gave. But none of those people were indicted, nor did it lead to any indictments. So no legal jeopardy. I think it becomes much more political in that sense. And again, this is all speculation. We may get this. It's a very dull report. with a lot of attachments that make up these hundreds of pages, attachments that have already been made public, like the indictments that did come out of this, you know, the listings of those and the evidence and things like that, things that are already public. 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call to talk to us on air. Don't let me, I don't want to forget too, this is still our matching challenge month. We do a March-April match. So whatever you're able to donate to the ACLJ is very important this month because it is doubled. You can double your impact, your donation at aclj.org. And it's a busy time. And Than, as you mentioned, these are not just issues, you know, my dad is concerned about and those, anybody from our team who's also become part of the president's legal team separately. There are a lot of issues involving this that directly affect what the ACLJ cares about and works on.
Frankly, I think, yeah, that's the most important thing that's going to come out of this report, Jordan. I mean, for decades, the ACLJ has been focused on bureaucratic abuse, especially when it's aimed for political purpose or with viewpoint discrimination. That was at the core of the IRS case that we took on, where conservatives were targeted by the federal government because of either their political views or their religious beliefs. And Jordan, I really view the FISA abuses and the law enforcement abuses at the center of this case in the same way. I mean, we were talking about why did they use information that they knew was bad to put forward an application to spy on the American people. And Jordan, I really think the answer on that is in as well. I mean, it was because of political bias and political animus. We know that because of the text messages from Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Jordan, those public policy fixes are incredibly significant issues that have a risk of being overlooked because of all of the political theater involved here. Now, I know there are some issues that have to be addressed in that political theater sphere, but here at the ACLJ, the thing that I am the most interested in is making sure that those abuses of the American people are not perpetrated again, especially not by the people that we give a sacred trust to enforce the laws of our land. Never again, Jordan, should we have an FBI director that thinks he is so far above the law then he can leak a confidential conversation with the president for a political purpose, and that is what that is. So here at the ACLJ, and I hope across this town and across this country, we will have people looking at the report for that purpose, to make sure that the bureaucracy never again abuses their power and abuses the process in this way.
Folks, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me get right to them. Let me go to Alan in South Carolina on line 5. Alan, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Well, thank you for taking my call. One of the things I was thinking of is, no matter what happens on this report when it's issued, the Democrats, it's not going to make a difference to them. They're just going to find another way to attack Trump and attack his policies. You know, they have the Maxine Waters and the Jerry Nadler's that just don't believe the fact that the report is even viable, because they're already denying it. They're saying that the Mr. Barr had redacted stuff. They want the whole thing openly shown, but they're going to deny anything anyhow. They're just going to go on to the next thing. That's what my opinion is.
Well, I think, the Democrats are not going to do any favors for this president leading into the presidential election. They've been very clear about that. There's only a couple of issues really on the table for them that they'll work on. One of those, like prescription drug costs. Some have talked about infrastructure. I don't even think that it could be really seriously done under the way how partisan it's become and how the Democrats are also kind of like out of control. Mitch McConnell called it their own Freedom Caucus now, the left, which was able to, within the Democrat Party, stop a budget vote from moving forward, has led Nancy Pelosi to say, listen, there's like 5 Democrat socialists in our entire elected House of Representatives. At the Senate, you got the one, Bernie Sanders. You got 5 of them, and let's stop making a big deal out of it. I think that should have been her position from the beginning, is not give any attention to the Ilhan Omar types and the AOC types. These are new members of Congress who should just be getting their feet wet and figuring out what it is to be a member of Congress and their proper role. But instead, she threw Ilhan Omar on the Foreign Affairs Committee. So, in fact, is now reaping what she sowed there by doing the Rolling Stone cover with all of them pictured together and things like that. So, listen, there's not going to be any favors from the Democrats out of this. I do think they look fool. They already look foolish, Wes, because they know what the conclusions are. And you still got people like Adam Schiff claiming Russian collusion, knowing good and well the report said there was none.
Yeah, the Democrats, whatever comes out in the report, they will cherry pick and latch onto portions that they will take out of context. There is, among Adam Schiff and his kind, this marked and you could actually say dramatic, don't confuse me with the facts mentality. They absolutely, you know, do not want the facts. And if the facts are in front of them, they're confronted with the facts, then they're not facts to them. Their positions change continually because you're right and the caller's right. They are simply part of the anti-Trump movement, and that's not going to change. This report comes at the end of almost 2 years and about $30 million of our money. And during this time, the mainstream media, they were, you know, spouting off speculations that were biased and often filled with secret sources and false headlines. And yet, I believe that Barr is a straight shooter. I think that the clearest indicator of what will be in this full report is what Barr's summary said about it. I don't think there will be any really bombshells or surprises. And not only this, Jordan, not all of the report is about President Trump. There will be process portions of that about the investigation that thankfully will be very, very boring. But I believe the American people are weary of all of this. The Dems, if they were smart, if they weren't so hyped up on political opportunism, they would actually focus on the 2020 election and fixing immigration, repairing the healthcare system, those kinds of things. But I don't look for that to happen. Political opportunism, unfortunately, will not die with the release of this report. The saga, unfortunately, continues in spite of the fact that the American people are so tired of it.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be, again, I mean, Harry, the big question we have for people, we still want people to call in, 1-800-684-3110. Nancy, we're going to get to you in the next 7 of the broadcast, and those of you waiting on the line, we will get to you. But we have some lines open. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. How big of a day is Thursday? Is it just a big day for Washington, D.C., or is it a big day for the nation that this Mueller report comes out? I think it's a little mix of both because of how it will be perceived. But, Harry, your thoughts. I mean, most people, average person, and nothing against the average person, our average listener, is not going to have time to read this or digest this. They're going to be getting their info,
Jordan,
from the sources they trust.
I think you're absolutely correct. And so the real question is, will the report justifiably spark a groundswell of public opinion demanding that the Justice Department launch an investigation of the investigators, or will the report spark a huge yawn from the American people? No doubt the political types will indeed be exercised by this report, but many of those individuals simply will not receive the facts because they have a pre-arranged narrative designed to adversely affect this administration.
All right, folks, when we come back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. In the final segment, we like to take as many calls as we can. So if you have something to say about, now we know when the Mueller report's being released, which is Thursday morning, this is the time, this is the segment to say it. How important do you think it is? Is it just Congress making a big deal about it, and specifically Democrats who are going to try to make a deal, big deal about it, and the left? But what does that mean? Well, it means the right's going to have to fight back as well. And I will tell you, my dad is one of the president's top lawyers, separately from his role as the ACLJ. He's got a team ready to go through the whole report. As has already been published, there's a response ready if necessary, a lengthy response. I don't know if that's going to be necessary or not, and I think that'll be based on what the report is like. I'm sure you will see him in the media. I'm sure he'll hope to join the broadcast before this as well, but I can't guarantee that, but I hope he will be able to. Now we know the date, and he knows the date, just like you do. So we know it. There was already talk, we knew it was this week. The big question was, were we going to get it Monday afternoon, like today? And now we know, just for anybody joining. So it's clear, Department of Justice announced Mueller report will be released to the American people and Congress on Thursday morning. We didn't get an exact time for what Thursday morning means, but usually in Washington, that means as you're sitting down at your desk or before. So 9 a.m. or earlier, unless it is accompanied by something, some kind of press conference like at 8 or 9 a.m., and I'm talking Eastern time here. Hold me to that. We know it will happen before noon if they meet their deadline, their goal, which they said they believe will be released by morning. So it would be any time before noon on Thursday. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We do have some new legislative news to update you on as well, but I'll take Nancy's call first in California on line 4. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, fellas. So I am a bit frustrated, I think, that the Mueller team gets to help us make an opinion about their opinion. And they knew all along, like when they started this whole process, they knew that the FISA warrants were done in the wrong way. And yet they continued the investigation. And so now they get to tell us their opinion.
Well, like, we don't know how much of that could be in there. I mean, I don't want to prejudge all of it, Nancy, and the fact that they may have had questions about how some of the information was initially how this investigation began, because we know Peter Strzok was taken by the Mueller team from the head of counterintelligence at the FBI. He didn't want to go to it because he said there was no there there. Remember, that was from Peter Strzok, who opened the investigation on Trump with the dossier, said there was no there there. Ultimately, gets fired by the FBI, by the way. So he didn't really want to go to the special counsel team. Then all the text messages came out between him and Lisa Page about how much they didn't like the president and their secret plan, and we've got a plan B in Andy's office and the Andrew McCabe, who also gets fired by the FBI office of their professional responsibility office there. But I do think, Nancy, the special counsel's team, they got hired after all of that to investigate, did this occur? And you know what they found? It did not. So I think really their whole role in it, and I'll go to Harry on this, their whole role in it, Harry, when the attorney general says he's working with them, it's on what should be redacted when it comes to like grand jury, grand jury 6E information, as we call it, grand jury information or intelligence information, information about Americans that were not prosecuted, that they have someone in there helping consult the attorney general's team.
I think you're correct, and I think the caller has a very good point. After all, it seems clear beyond question that zero evidence and in all likelihood zero probable cause was ever adduced to launch this investigation in the first place. So I think we can safely conclude that the Mueller investigation is really part, or it was generated in part, by a highly politicized process, particularly initiated after James Comey leaked confidential documents to the press. But as you've said correctly previously, Jordan, the verdict is in. No collusion, no more indictments, no obstruction, So it's very, very possible that this report could be a huge yawn. However, to restate what I've said previously, we should still be concerned about the possibility, at least, of launching an investigation of the investigators. Why was this investigation launched? If there was no probable cause sufficient to justify an investigation of the Trump administration with respect to collusion, then why was it initiated? Who made the decision? For what particular purpose? So there are many, many questions that remain outstanding that are yet to be answered.
Yes. I mean, I think, again, let me go right to the phones. I think that, you know, and we know that Attorney General Barr has said that the Inspector General's office has got their report on whether there was abuse to FISA that will be ready in May or June. We know that he has said he will be investigating and he'll put together a team to investigate the origins, as he calls it, of the Russia investigation, which was the counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign and ultimately the Trump transition even. So all of that is going to be investigated. And I think what we know, though, from Thursday, we already know the conclusion. Nothing you're going to read is going to change the conclusions that Bill Barr came to. He already was open and out front and said they could find no conspiracy between the Russian government and the Trump campaign, so there's no collusion. Collusion, which is not a legal term of art, but the conspiracy is, and there wasn't any. Second, they came to no conclusion on obstruction. Then the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General, along with the team, looked at that and said there's no way there's enough evidence there for obstruction of justice. So no wonder they didn't try to bring some charge against the president, because we know they were never denied anything by DOJ, which means they never attempted anything that they weren't able to see through. So, again, they never requested to subpoena the president because they never asked to. We know that because they were denied nothing. So I think, again, a lot of this is just the how do you get from point A to point B. Some of that may be very interesting reading. Some of it is probably not going to be. Let's go to Rob in Maryland on line two. Rob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, closing out the show today.
Yeah, I was just making a comparison there about how when Obamacare came out, Nancy Pelosi was all hot to trot to get it signed before anybody knew what it said. Yeah, am I on?
No, you're not. She said, we'll pass it and then we'll find out what's in it.
Yeah, let's pass it. Sign it before we can and pass it before we know what's in it. Now she's all hot to trot that she wants this Mueller report all read without redactions before we know whether we can accept it or not.
Yeah, I mean, and now she must see everything, and including information that the Department of Justice is barred from giving. And by the way, there is a process for them to request the judges let them see that. But you'll hear from more cautious Democrats is that they're waiting to actually see what they get before they start saying we must go rush to court. How comprehensive it is. I think, listen, we know Thursday morning the Mueller report comes out. We won't spend every day this week talking about it, but I'm sure we will keep mentioning it throughout the week until we get to that unique day. We also have news that we didn't get to yet today. We'll get to it tomorrow on Senator Lindsey Graham putting forth some immigration compromises as well to fix the problem there. And remember our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate is doubled. That show flew by because we got that breaking news at the moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at